everybody. Welcome to another episode of Heart of Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Justin, and with me is Devontae, first name basis now.
Hey, everyone. I'm glad to be back. In-game. That's all we need to talk
about. Yeah, let's be jumping in. But before we jump in, I do have to tell you guys, apologize where I've been. I put out this very small episode maybe last week or two that I did not go away after the snapture. I'm still here. My baby girl decided to come 4 months early, so me and my wife been dealing with that roller coaster. But all is well. Everything is great. Things are getting better. That's why I haven't been on this. I haven't been doing any kind of review, any type of movie breakdown. I mean, I haven't done anything, but I am working on it. Guys, I'm currently working on the Iron Man in-game arc breakdown, which I'm super excited about. I was just telling Devontae about it. But in this episode, I'm so excited. I can't even talk. But in this episode, we're not even going to do like a review. Guys, we know this movie was amazing, probably some of the best cinematic adventures we've ever seen, both comic-based as well as just theater movie-based. But, I mean, to do a review now is just too late. The movie was awesome. But let's talk about after. What has happened, the likes, the dislikes of this movie, the takeaways, and what we're going to see with Phase 4. Also, we're going to be talking about some Disney Plus stuff that's very, very important. If you have not heard it already, we're going to be talking about it. So, Endgame, what are some of the things that you took away from it, Devontae? Some of the things that you liked, some of the things that you didn't like.
Well, there's very few things I disliked, but my overall, I think the main thing I want to talk about is story arcs coming full circle.
Yes.
I think that's my absolutely biggest highlight of the whole movie.
Yeah.
From Tony to Steve to Natasha.
Yeah.
You know, I know people have some complaints about how her arc resulted.
Yeah.
I don't have a big issue with it.
No.
My main thing is about my main character has always been Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I've been riding with Captain America since the first Avenger. He's been my Avenger ever since. And what they've done from, you know, were the Russos the original ones on the first?
No, the Russos jumped on Winter Soldier.
Who was the director of the first one?
Oh, you would put me on the spot on that one. Ah, man, I see his face, but I can't think of his name right now.
I can't either.
Don't worry, we will edit it this.
From the first director to the Russos to, you know, now I'm looking on his name, Joss Whedon.
Joss Whedon,
the man himself, the legend. His arc, I think Captain America has the best arc, even from his comic book counterpart.
Yeah, and just to talk about that, because again, a lot of this stuff will be in the in-game arc series that I'm coming out with where we were breaking down literally each character's arc in the past 11 years of the MCU. But just to see Tony and Cap's reverse arc is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, Captain America was my dude in the MCU, and again, like coming along the lines, and I'm not going to get too much into the content of the series that I'm doing, but jumping on Thor's arc kind of at the end, because we did kind of, if you really think about it, I was actually talking to my good friend Jordan that has been on the show, that Thor's arc was a little bit invisible in the first phase and second phase, and we didn't really get rebirth until third, and I think everybody that is a fan can agree with that. Yes, we love the character, but what the MCU did, it took some time to do that.
It didn't flourish until phase three.
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite arcs, have to be the two stars of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, and just seeing this man being a selfless soldier to represent his country, to come to a place where it's like, you know what, I don't care. Not necessarily I don't care, that's the context.
For the first time in his life, he's being selfish, and that's okay.
Yes.
His whole life he's been selfless.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if there's anyone that's deserved to be selfish, it's him.
Yes. And just to see everything that has happened to him, and being, that's what one of the things why we jump on at the later Phase 3 Thor, because literally this man lost everything, and everything that he can trust. So that's why things work at the end
New York, and now he's back.
One of the things I have, there's a select group out there that's saying that they didn't really care for the ending of Endgame. And I'm like, are you crazy?
That was perfect.
You talk about the spreads, the full page spreads of what we see in the comic books. That was what we see at the end of Endgame. To see that many people in one place. Again, I'm not going to be that person that's like late in just saying something that's already been said. So that's why I'm not doing this as a review. The movie was amazing. But the reason why Natasha's character made sense, because again, she still had a lot of blood on her hands, which is why she sacrificed herself. So in the reason, in the position of why she did it, was an answer to why they did it. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, she's.
Are you yawning?
She's lived most of her life
in the middle of this while I'm breaking it down.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I said?
She's talking about that red.
We got to
go.
Red if all we come at him with this plucky attitude.
Like, in game, she said, "I just want to make that one plucky choice that kind of fixes all that, and what bigger
right,
choice
than
to fix the entire
universe?" Like your
that's beautiful.
And only for her friends to know, her family to know.
Yep.
I'm about to dance off.
And again, you got to think of that. That was the only family that Natasha had.
Exactly like
that's the only family, and it's the first family that accepted that. So.
Don't
we can say Nick Fury and S.H.I.E.L.D. So like, we can't say that. But that was like the first full family that we see.
Human, so that 50% of me, that's stupid.
Any dislikes?
That's 100% you.
Your math is blowing
I'll
my
say,
mind.
I'll say, and it's not because they had to go in, because Thanos is already dead, in their time, but not in the past. The character arc of who he was, you know, being the complex conqueror slash he wants to save the world, is not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes
you.
Sense because it's his fire that he's like, in a way he's big headed because all that's out the window.
Yeah.
And people were complaining about choice. That, but and they said it kind of ruins the character. I don't think it does, but I could see how that could be like a negative for some people.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about if this was real, and you know, you got shown the things that you have accomplished. I'm not saying us, but like majority of human beings would react to that information instead of responding to it. We saw Thanos a little bit react to it because, again, he saw something that he has been dreaming and working towards to, and then saw that glimpse, or more so clip, of that from Nebula. That just gave him extreme confidence. But I didn't really have too much dislikes. I think this goes for everybody. One of the greatest moments of probably cinematic history and Marvel history is Cap, grabbing Mjolnir, which is something that
we knew.
Yeah. If you listen to the podcast, we've talked about it so many times. It's because it's so many times in the comics. Mm-hmm. So the moment that I had reading the different series that he picked up Mjolnir, that was just amplified because seeing it for the real life action kind of stuff, it just really amplifies it.
And shout out to the Russos because their camera work is excellent. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, us, we knew it was going to happen. I knew as soon as they zoomed in on Mjolnir, it was going to happen. But for the context of someone who doesn't read the comic books, the shot they use and how long they lingered on it until they finally, you know, it throws and it comes back and it's Captain America. And that was their opening night.
Yeah.
And just seeing the commodity of everybody just shouting and cheering because it finally happened. And then Thor saying, I knew it.
Yeah. And there's a lot to it that him, with Thor saying, I knew it, because in Ultron, and again, even though I should have posted this just so I can have the validity of that I said it first, but being that back in the day when Age of Ultron released, knowing that Steve could have picked up that hammer all this time, but he didn't want to first embarrass or put himself out there, because again, that's not Steve's character. So that was really, really cool. And then I think it was the Russos or the writers saying he was always honorable. He was always honorable to hold that hammer. So, and again, it's Steve Rogers we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Dislikes, before I go into it, another thing that we saw for the first time is not just Mjolnir, but actually Captain America saying Avengers Assemble, which was very historic.
The crescendo of what we've been waiting for since the first movie. It was perfect.
So that's something that it was just beautiful to see that.
And then there's something that not many people are talking about that I'm shocked.
Mm-hmm.
House of M.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch. Mm-hmm. She almost She almost beat Thanos.
Yeah. And again, even in Infinity War, a lot of people didn't see that. She held Thanos back with one hand. And then, on the other hand, dealing with Vision. A lot of people don't remember that. But, again, not a lot of people know that Scarlet Witch is one like an Omega-level mutant. Mm-hmm. So, but not really any kind of dislikes.
Not really.
I don't really...
I've heard people say there were pacing issues, but I kind of disagree. I think because the movie being... close to 3 hours long. It's to me the Infinity War, but Endgame is three different movies. The first section is the we lost the battle, the war. That's the first movie. The second movie is basically Back to the Future, then getting the stones.
It's an
adventure movie.
That's a horrible Back to the Future reference, being that it was a bad reference in the actual movie. You know. But you just to kind of clean that up, you have the Lost. Mm-hmm. Section, and not really breaking this into three acts, but the first section was we lost. The second one is more of so, hey, trying to get past it, mm-hmm. and those that did get past it are setting their lives. I mean, Tony had a daughter, all these kind of things. And then the third, of course, where we see the...
Basically, they're Lord of the Rings.
The very, very one time that, you know, Doctor Strange holding up that finger, this is that one time. But, so not really that much dislikes. I enjoyed it. Saw it a whole bunch of times, and that's something that is very historic. I will be putting out again my new top 10, but that does flirt with number one with Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier has hold that first place. Somebody, man, today I was in a Facebook group, and I'm not gonna, you know, put this person out, nor do I remember his name, but they were putting out their personal top. List of MCU movies. Dark Lord, the Dark World, I'm sorry, I don't know why I said Dark Lord. Dark World was in the middle, and Iron Man 1 and 2 were at the bottom.
At the very bottom?
At the very bottom. I was like, what are you thinking? You know, but I was the respectful one, and I was actually, I responded to it very, very early. I said, I'm probably going to be the nicest comment on this thing. So anyways, but what I really wanted to emphasize about is after Endgame. You know, this whole 11 years was called the Infinity Saga, and now we're entering the new saga, which is Phase 4, which still I'm looking at, even though Kevin Feige said it, this sounds weird. Even though he confirmed that Spider-Man is not a Phase 4, it's a Phase 3.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that Endgame was a period. I think he maybe is trolling us maybe a little bit. I don't know. But let's talk about Spider-Man Far From Home and using that as a template to talk about what to expect in the Phase 4, because we have had episodes about this, about like speculations. But now that Endgame is here and it's past, we know all the things that are going to come in the next couple of weeks, I think almost a month, at Comic-Con or D23, Marvel Studios will give their slate of Phase 4. Mm-hmm. And then we can go geek on that as well. But as of right now, we already see from Far From Home, even Mysterio himself saying Earth 616, mm-hmm. we have introduction to the multiverse. And how much the Snapchers has created. I tweeted it today, actually, that these Snapchers, as close as they were together, think about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have the 5 years, what Thanos did, but we also have two snaps that are very, very close together that is called Rips, creating the multiverse, introduction of the 616, and the speculation of that Earth 1999999, all that kind of stuff. And... this could maybe be the template or backdrop for where mutants are coming in. So there's a lot I just gave you, Devontae, but what do you think of this post-Endgame going into Phase 4?
You know, originally when I first finished Endgame and I was thinking about the implications of the snap and everything was going to happen, mm-hmm. and then, you know, seeing, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. give us the little teaser saying, you know, introducing multiverses, and then, you know, the Far From Home...
Trailer,
but it was on Ellen.
Oh yeah, yeah, the scene.
And they just talked about 616 and everything. At first, I thought, oh, they're gonna finally introduce King of the Conqueror because you know multiverses and all that stuff.
Yep.
But then someone brought to my attention they're gonna bring in Secret Wars.
Yeah, it was around the end. I think Infinity War PR tour, if you want to say that, where the Russo brothers did was asked a question about Secret Wars, and they said they would happily. Come back on when Secret Wars come. So we already knew that was coming. And then Kevin Feige with a, you got to connect the dots sometimes, guys, with these interviews, with these writers, directors, and of course Kevin Feige, that Hugh Jackman will be used at a later time as an old version of Wolverine. Hello, that's Secret Wars all over it. And I really hope, and this is just me, they go with a Jonathan Hickman's kind of Secret Wars. Even though I love Starlin, but if you, at the end of the day, just how it was, I think that would be very, very cool to see. So definitely, I think we are seeing a Secret Wars. Will it be called Avengers Secret Wars? Maybe. I don't know. But being that there is a potentially a, an Avengers versus X-Men coming, yes, I do believe that. Maybe a potential Civil War II, maybe. I don't know.
As long as it's not like the book.
Yeah, that's because guys, if you know or any listen to me, the Civil War II comic book series was really bad.
And what's really good is now that they've actually introduced the idea of multiverses, they have the ultimate excuse to bring in whoever they want from whatever studio. Absolutely. Or buy whatever. They have their ultimate, you know, what's what I'm looking for.
The IPs. Yeah. It's just the IPs that they own. And really? Tom Holland just released this, I think today, where he's good for 20 more Spider-Man movies. You know, if Sony can do it, like, he was like, I'm down. And I think it's great to have him at a young age because we can use him more.
Yeah, him age and everything.
Yeah.
Do they, who actually owns the, because I've heard rumors they wanted to do a Namor film. Who owns the IP for Namor?
I think Marvel Studios owns that IP. Okay. I think they just didn't want to do it because of Aquaman. And we talked about this, and this is the first time I'm saying this on this episode, not via conversation because with they everybody. They did reference him, and I told you it would be a conversational point. I said, just put it in a sentence, and if you did not catch it, it was at that scene where Black Widow was talking to everybody with the hologram, and they said there was a earthquake off of the coast of Wakanda. Thank you. That's Namor. That is Atlantis. That's all you needed, really. So it's pretty much a given that Namor will probably be that anti-villain, anti-hero kind of thing in Black Panther 2. But again, talking about this post-endgame going into Phase 4, I'm just super... It reminds me of, like, if I can just think of something like a seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I know you don't really watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Not anymore.
But he claims that the last great season was Ghost Rider.
Last good season.
That's good season. But I think every season was great, but every season was very different. It was something new. And it literally forced you, the writers and the directors forced you to not use the last season to fall back on. And I think that's what they're doing with this one. It is a little scary. Being that their whole talk about the Eternals, being that really it's going to be openly gay. There's going to be more openly gay characters that are coming out, which Joe Russo kind of confirmed there was an openly gay character, which I think is that kind of given. It's Valkyrie. There's a deleted scene that they were talking about. They took it out where Thor tried to kiss Valkyrie, and Valkyrie's like, what are you doing? He was like, nothing. So I can only assume how funny that was. But they kind of took that out because it just didn't make sense. There's other scenes that they did, which I don't know if they're going to put this in the Blu-ray, which shout out, I don't want to jump ahead, but you know, it will be available December something, early December on Disney Plus. Avengers Endgame. It's going to be crazy. Disney Plus is going to be crazy. But there are deleted scenes that they took out where the lady, I forgot her name, from 13 Reasons Why, played the older version of Tony's daughter, which after the snap, he was in the so-called Soul World, which actually, I was kind of low-key upset about that. The writers actually debunked that like when the, and again, even though people are having interviews and saying this, they could be trolling. I don't know. Because I think they might still be trolling because they don't want to give too much away to Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which we know Adam Warlock will be. And also confirmed, Billy. Billy was confirmed now.
Who?
Why is it? Ray Bill. Sorry.
Oh, Billy Ray. Okay.
Billy Ray Bill. So he is confirmed for Guardians 3, which, again, that
amazing.
Opens
I've been
up.
Waiting for that for so long.
It opens up the whole plethora of thing, and which, again, knowing that Adam Warlock has access to the Soul World, I think they're trying to. That's just me, maybe being extreme speculation on that. Mm-hmm. But the writers did confirm that after the snap, Infinity War, those people did die. They didn't go anywhere else. And I was like, but that doesn't make sense.
It broke my theory.
Yeah, but this is the thing. That doesn't make sense because there's the part in the third act of an Endgame where Peter was saying that, hey, Doctor Strange was telling us that he needed us. So he was calling all of us here. But that also could be because, you know, when the Hulk did snap, there was a moment of time that they were back on Earth, back in this time for a little bit. So that could be Soul World, that could be that. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of messed me up when he confirmed that, because I was like, oh crap, there's no Soul World, there's not this, there's not that. So that was the real kind of strange part. But going again, emphasizing this, I think this is going to be a perfect backdrop to incorporate the X-Men. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I'm looking forward to it. You think they're going to actually do like a full reboot? Or like,
I don't think they're going to do reboots. Okay, I don't think they're going to do like a full X-Men thing, because you got the Disney Plus coming.
Okay, because, you know, there's still some cast members I think were actually perfectly cast, and the newer cast I think would still do great for.
Yeah.
Are they still going to, how are they going to try to implement Deadpool into it too? They're going to do just...
Because they still need to do X-Force. I don't know if they're still doing X-Force. I believe they are doing X-Force. Again, okay. Even though these...
I've heard they've pulled back on the, what was the other X-Men movie that was slated for this year?
The New Mutants.
There
was the New Mutants. That's actually supposed to still come out. But again, there's one of those things that actually could be debunked or just basically canceled. I think they should cancel it, even though all that money, all that production has been going into that. It would just confuse people. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I know that's a lot of money. But being that one of the things I do see them doing with the X-Men, because again, Olsen is still young. She can still play Scarlet Witch, which... Bruh, if they do a House of M, I'm going to lose it. Because, again, House of M is still one of the best comic books out there in the past couple of decades. So that's something that, again, that you can do that for your research. But just to give you a little spoiler of the House of M, Scarlet Witch literally gets rid of 95% of mutants, just erasing them. What I see, this kind of transition us into the Disney Plus talk, but what I see them post Endgame, because we are going to get 8 episodes, if not more, seasons of Marvel Studio, Marvel MCU canon stuff that will directly affect the MCU. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to say the MCU TV. I don't know how you want to say that, but the Disney Plus universe. I don't know if you want to, however the fan base articulates that. We're going to see. I think they were saying each episode $10 million. That's crazy.
Wow.
You're going to have these same actors. We're going to see, which I believe with the Falcon and Winter Soldier series coming out, you're going to see the growth of Sam Wilson growing into the Shield.
Oh, I actually had another. I think where they're going to do is for the whole. What's this? It's going to be called
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah,
I think he's going to kind of reject it, and I think Bucky's going to grow into the Shield.
Ooh, I don't know about that one.
I don't know
about that one, because this is the reason. This is the biggest discussion here. One of the biggest, is that people are pissed about why didn't Steve give it to Bucky than to Sam. And again, understand this, and I'll see how much I can articulate this as good as I did it in these fan groups, that Sam's foundation mirrored Steve's more than Bucky did. But Bucky had more blood on his hands. Sam's foundation, his ethics, his morale reflect that more of Steve's. Mm-hmm. Where Steve found it to be that it's not that Bucky or Sam is better than Bucky in the way of holding the Shield, but he represents the Shield more than Bucky did. Bucky has. Now, does Bucky become Captain America? Yes, in the comic books he does. But Sam does it, which I think is a better move, being that what Marvel Studios is doing with Black Panther in that community. I think it's genius, because I do love post-Civil War of Sam Wilson, Captain America series. I think it was genius. I think it was genius because T'Challa was talking to Sam and saying, hey, because Sam didn't want the Shield. He was like, man, this is extremely hard to work in this man's shadow. But he was like, man, for the Black community, for this community, we need this. We all need this to prove, which I think that brought more of a reality in a different type of mixture. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see the chemistry sometimes flux between them being that, so why did my best friend just give you the shield and not me? That's going to happen, but I'm really interested to see how this story plays out. I really do. And we got the Loki series coming and Vision Wanda.
Which we finally realized how they were going to. I was wondering this whole time how are they going to do the Loki show. Now we have our whole reason why. He's basically created a whole another universe with that Loki.
It could be. There is that, or there's also one that we've been getting that we just kind of see him hop different parts and him existing for the past 1,000 years, hopping through different timelines in our history. So there's that. There's a couple of other things that is here to play. So really, really excited to see all these things that come to play. So just to wrap this up, Disney Plus, if y'all haven't seen it, if y'all haven't heard about it, it's coming out November 12th, I believe, for $6.99. And I think, I don't know the amount of it for the full year. I think it's still pretty cheap, but it's $6.99. On the debut, you're going to have The Mandalorian, which is going to be the first live-action $10 million episode budget kind of thing. But we're also going to have WandaVision. We're going to have Winter Soldier and Falcon and all these different type of MCU series coming out. It's going to be bonkers. It's going to be bonkers. But stay tuned on that. I actually wanted this to be a very long episode because I haven't done one at all. But we're going to be keep you up to date, guys. And also be on the lookout for this in-game arc series that I'm doing, where every character will be broken down for one episode. Also, we're going to be doing this what if. I wanted to do an in-game what if, being that there were supposedly these timelines that were created now. Even though Captain America did return everything, there were still timelines that were created. So different realities that were created. So really excited about that. So that's pretty much it, guys, for Heart of the Marvel. Thank you guys for listening. We're still, we're not still doing the giveaway. We're doing a new giveaway of the Captain Marvel Blu-ray. In order to win that, you have to be a subscriber to our YouTube and just comment one of our pages and say, hey, I'm in for the, I want to win the Captain Marvel Blu-ray. So I'm really excited for that release. And all the good stuff that is about to come this way, guys. A lot of great stuff is happening here behind the scenes at Hard and Marvel Podcast. A lot of exposure, a lot of networking happening with some big people. It's going to get crazy. It's going to get really crazy. So last thoughts.
I can't wait to buy Blu-ray.
This guy. Anyways, that's horrible. That's a horrible last words. But anyways, guys, I'm Justin. This is Devontae. Thank you guys for listening, taking time out of your busy day, as always, to hear us rant here at Heart of Marvel Podcast. Stay awesome and stay blessed, guys. Peace.